The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome to the third hour of Thursday's edition of The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Coming up in this hour, we go to our discussion with a cancer survivor, and we will talk about how her journey has been thus far. Her name is Claudette Stewart, and she'll be joining us in a couple minutes. And we just stepped out of Agribusiness Innovations. Of course, the topics from the last hour. Quickly, in the discussion about metal detectors in schools, do you think we are ready for that? And of course, the re-entry into politics by Jack Warner. And to continue the article, another discussion already has been, no, it's not going to make any difference in terms of the political landscape. Yes, he just might bring some vitality back to the political arena if it is that the UNC does decide to have him on their list of candidates. And Mr. Warner, former Chaguanas West MP, has said that he will be willing to enter the race once again once given the nod by the opposition leader, Kamla Prasad Bisesa. According to the article, Warner served as Chaguanas West MP between 2007 and 2013 under the UNC and won the seat again in 2013 under his Independent Liberal Party, ILP. In 2020, he contested the Lopino Bonair West seat under the ILP and lost to People National Movement's Marvin Gonzalez. After 8 years away from the UNC, he returned to support the party for the 2023 local government elections. The party received 173,961 votes, and the election, while the PNM got 130,868 votes. Questions over Prasad Bisesa's suitability to lead the party into the next general election were raised ahead of the party's internal election in June, causing fallout with the UNC and dissident faction who had challenged Prasad Bisesa's slate during the internals. But Warner insisted yesterday that she's the only one to lead the party to victory at the polls. If you put her out, then who do you put in? He asked. There's nobody in the UNC right now who has the kind of currency that she has. But admitting that the internal wranglings hurt him, Warner said he believes some of the dissidents hold tremendous potential for the party's success. At least four of them, I think, have some political substance to offer. You must admit that Anita Haynes, Rushton Parry, Rodney Charles, though he decided to retire on his own, and Dinesh Rambali, these guys have something to offer the country. I don't think Rai Raghubir has, and I say that with a heavy heart because he is my friend, Warner stated. So those are the opinions of Mr. Warner thus far. Do you think that it would be, you know, in the best interest of the party to have him come back to politics and politics on the whole in terms of TNT's presence and the, you know, the situation that we're in? Do you think it would be interesting to see him return to the polls? 625-2257 is the number you can call right now to express your view on the situation. And of course, on the other side of another topic, do you think that schools are ready for metal detectors? In my humble opinion, I don't think they're ready for that, in that, you know, it will give a whole different feeling to schools, and children are already under pressure as it pertains to learning. So it's, you know, I don't think that it would be something that would make a difference in bringing kids to a better environment for learning. All right. Let's see. 625-2257 is the number. And of course, 306-1065 are the messages coming in. Still looking for songs, requests. I see that one person sent in that song. According to this message, they would love to hear, you know, Diwali songs, at least one or two being played. I'll try my best before I leave. Can't make any promises. The one that was sent, and it's not, I can't find it. I will check again, but It's a little difficult to get that one. Just waiting for our guests to join us here at Freedom 106.5 FM. And let's talk cancer and talk about survivorship of the disease, as it is October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we continue to talk to survivors and, you know, to give you helpful tips as to how to conquer this disease and, you know, mindset and what can you do to prepare for the battle ahead if it is you've been newly diagnosed. And of course, support systems and, you know, different things that are available. This week we spoke to one doctor talking about, you know, centralized testing. Do you think that that would be an addition to the fight, or would it just make a difference? All right, so we got those questions and a whole lot more right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Let's take another break as we step into our interview.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Okay, TNT, we finally sorted it out and we have live on the phone, we've got our cancer survivor who's here today to talk about her journey. And we welcome finally to Freedom 106.5 FM, Ms. Claudette Stewart. Welcome, welcome. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good morning.
All right. So, Claudette, tell us a little bit about yourself and the beginning of your journey. And I guess it's not news that you wanted to hear, but tell us from, you know, that point.
Okay, so let me start by saying thanks for having me this morning.
No problem.
I am 55 years old with two children, married. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 42. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, it really wasn't something I was looking for, because it was a cyst I had in my right breast, which I used to visit the doctor every 3 months to have it examined. Mm-hmm. But he will always tell me, you know, leave it alone. Don't bother with that. It's a cyst. You know, nobody wouldn't cut it. You know, leave it alone. He gave me the same advice he will give his daughter. But I knew something was wrong, so I decided to get a second opinion. And in getting my second opinion is where I found out it was not a cyst. It was breast cancer.
And I guess that intuition is what, you know, would have, you would have met it or at a point where it could have been dealt with. If it is that you left it alone, as was advised, you know, I guess the amount of time that you would have been able to really
get every 3 months.
Yes. You know, it really
close to 2 years.
It would have made a difference in your battle. How do you think the treatment went with you? Were there things that, as you know, you're talking about this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the services available really worked in your favor, or were there things that you think can change?
Okay, well, let me say this. When I had my surgery, done in Petrichor. My husband used to work there at the time, so I was covered under his medical plan. So I had everything done there. I had my treatment there, and I think I had some of the best doctors and also treatment. I had 2 cycles of chemo. And I had no side effects, none whatsoever. My hair never fall off. I never vomit. I was never sick and weak, nothing. On the 4th day after my chemo, I will go back to Augustus Longton Anesthesia Station to have an injection, an Bridger injection on the right side of my belly for 4 days. To produce new white blood cells. And instead, normally that injection gives you deep bone pain. I had no pain whatsoever. So I was on tamoxifen for 9 years after a tablet is in a treatment form also.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had no side effects.
So you're one of the stories where, you know, you wouldn't have really thought that you would have had any kind of disease, let alone cancer. You know, they say that it really depends on the chemistry of the person, how you react to medications and, you know, surgeries and all of that. So you are considered one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, and I still caught it in time because it was stage 2.
Yeah, detection is always advised. Early detection, gives you better chances. In terms of support and resources, do you think that it could have been better, or you would like to see more resources for those who are also battling the disease?
Yes, I do. Well, for me, like I say, I was under my husband's medical treatment. But listening to a good bit of my breast sisters who would be going through the hospital system, and they are at a great disadvantage because there's so many people, and sometimes they may have a test to do, and they have to wait so long in order to get this test done. So sometimes they have to eat barbecue and curry queue and this thing in order to go privately to get the test done in order to get things speed up. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they have to wait in line, which is really, really not nice because it's cancer we're dealing with. And we know sometimes if it's aggressive, you know, it could be at one way now, and then later on, by the time, you know, doctors do test again, they tell you something different again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time is of the essence.
Support was, I had a very good, great support system, family and friends.
Well, one of the things that I like to ask, because, you know, being a foodie, were there great changes in your diet? Are there things that you miss that you may have taken out of your diet?
None whatsoever. My diet never changed because when I asked my doctor, he say he's not going to take me off of anything to put the body into, you know, any shock. Everything is in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And being a 12-year breast cancer survivor, I eat everything in moderation, but I eat and drink everything.
Mm-hmm.
I never cut off anything.
So I guess from what you're saying, there isn't anything much that you would change about your journey. What advice would you give, seeing as you've had that kind of journey, to anyone who's listening right now who may have just come from the appointment and receiving the bad news?
Okay, so listen with your doctor. It is very, very important to listen with your doctor and work along with your doctor. Sometime it might be home, and if you're might remember something and you're worried about it, write it down, because a lot of times when we reach in front of the doctor, we forget.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be scared to ask him or her questions, because that is what they are there for. The treatment, I can't say anything. You know, some people would tell you, don't take the chemo. I like to encourage people, if your doctor tells you you need to do chemo, do the chemo.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise a lot. That is important. That is one of my strongholds. I exercise every day from ever since, and I still do. So I like to encourage people to exercise and talk. At least find one person to talk. Do not hide it and keep it to yourself. You know, talk to somebody, because just by talking, sometimes you might come across something that might be, you know, beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide it. Don't be scared, because, you know, a lot of people feel cancer is a death sentence. It is not, and there's life after cancer. You could live a normal life after cancer.
And diagnosis and treatment and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody who specifically you would like to thank, you know, sharing that experience, you know, the encouragement that you received? Was there like one person, your go-to person you'd like to thank?
Well, honestly, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would like to thank my husband, my number one supporter, and my daughters, and my family, and my friends. I like to thank all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to thank my deceased doctor, who had picked up on my cancer when the doctor was telling me it was a cyst, but she's not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I still have to say thank God for her, because she detected just by examining that lump. She could have just feel it and know that is not a normal cyst.
Mm-hmm. And as that lesson, you know, I guess the whole takeaway from your discussion is early detection, keep on
detection,
checking. Yeah.
And always, if you're not comfortable, a second opinion is always good.
Mm-hmm. All right. And are there like groups and so on that you're a part of? Are you?
A member of Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. In a group that men and women who get Lyme, and I recently started a group myself and another breast cancer survivor and our gym instructor. Mm-hmm. We had a walk on the 2nd of October to raise awareness and funds to help one of our cancer survivors.
Yeah, because support, as you said, is very important.
Very important.
In dealing with this. Mm. Well, you said that exercise was one of your go-tos.
Stronghold, yes.
Yeah. Was it like yoga, or was it high impact, low impact? Give
yes.
us a little description of what exercise is. Because when you think cancer, you think, like, all right, I need to just be doing some very basic things. You know, I can't run a marathon. I can't do that. What are some of the things you did?
High impact aerobic. Weight boot camp.
Wow.
Walking, running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So some things that, I guess, challenge your body to, you know, push the limit.
It's something that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a passion for it.
All right, Miss Claudette, thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, I wish it was a little more time, but technicalities, you know.
Yes.
But I'm glad
yes.
that you've joined us still.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.